First Timothy 2 and 1. We're still looking at the order in prayer or the order of prayer. And we have seen how the first things in creation or the first things about creation is order. Genesis 1 and 2. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 1, Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, and we said the word first there, is the word for order. Prayer is so important that at no point, you know, there are some things we can say carelessly, and I'm going to just share that straight away. It's not about prayer. You know, even sometimes when we want to rebuke false doctrine, you know, some people would say what Nigeria needs is prayer and stuff like that. We believe it, there's prayer, but we also need to do some things and all that. But never talk down on prayer. It's too much of God's order in our lives. You know, if you look at the epistles, there's virtually no epistle without an instruction to pray for someone or to be prayed for. Romans 12 and verse 12. Romans 15, that's Paul now. Verse 19. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about prayer. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15 talks about praying. And in 2 Corinthians as well, talks about praying. In Galatians, it's prayer. Inferred the words of Paul, my little children whom I travel at birth again till Christ be formed in you. Of course, the opening words of Colossians and Philippians and Ephesians has, I cease not to pray for you. Colossians 1 verse 9 to 11, Philippians 1 verse 9 to 11, and Ephesians 1 verse 16 to 23, chapter 3 again verse 14 to 21. In fact, Ephesians has praying always, right? Colossians also has continuing prayer. Colossians, apart from him praying for the church, Colossians 4, 2 and 3 also has praying. Philippians 1, 19, it says that God will receive deliverance through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 4, 4, rejoice again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's virtually no letter of Paul. You won't find an instruction to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, rejoice evermore. 17, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 25, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, it says pray for us that we might be delivered from all reasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith that the word of God may run steadfastly with our interest. In all the letters he wrote to Timothy, just the one we are reading, first of all, prayer. And so there's no way you can read the Bible, I'm talking about the epistles now, and not see the importance of praying. 1 Peter 3, 12, praying. Peter instructs about praying. 1 John 5, 14, where John says, whatever you ask, Father, according to his will, he hears us. If he hears us, we know we have this confidence we have. Sorry, if I ask that confidence, he hears us. You know, he hears us. So that prayer is there. 2 John might not be so clear, but 3 John 2, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, and as a soul prospers. Jude 20, build up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. James 5:16, we're going to that one shortly. Hebrews 13, verse 20, where he prays about, he talks about the prayer ministry of Jesus in Hebrews 5:7, sorry. So you definitely have enough information around the concept of prayer, enough information around the concept and the practice of prayer to know that it's God's order that is in your life. One of the ways to bring order into our lives, that is, if I want to set something in order, I pray. So don't say prayer as a reaction. Prayer should be seen as a proaction. So many people want to get into marriage, and they will tell them at the marriage seminars. You know, sometimes we love extremes. People started from brother and sister, I'll go and pray about it. They have marriage committee. I don't know if you know about that. I don't think you know MC. They say, have you seen MC? In those days, some brethren, the MC, when you tell the MC you want to marry a sister, you can never start like that. I feel the Lord is leading me. I've heard from the Lord that Sister Janet is the person. So the MC would also pray with you. The MC will have someone to now follow you to go and meet Sister Janet. So you can't even, all this kneeling down can happen. There is a delegate from the MC. Sometimes even when you are in the relationship, people from the MC will still be following you. I know a particular church like that in Ibadan. So we move from that MC arrangement to Brian and say, it's not about that. You know, we always love to throw away the baby and the bathwater. It's not about that. The real thing is whether you love the person and all that. But those kind of relationships eventually end up in prayer meetings. So that all the word of knowledge you receive, Holy Ghost meetings, where there is be peace. There will be peace in your heart. When is it first of all? You didn't take that. You made it last of all. So people often say, no, it's not about it. But it's too much in scripture to not see it. That it's actually order. You know, it's order. And prayer shouldn't be something that it becomes like an emergency. For example, someone was saying that, why would you need to pray if they give you a job offer? That you should have sense. I said, no. That is for those who don't pray normally. Because when they don't pray normally, that they give you a job offer, I have to pray about it. If prayer is in your normal course, you will definitely pray about it. It's like if you have a friend that you relate very closely, you know, and then naturally you talk about everything. So there's no, I think I should talk to him about it. I should talk to her about it. That won't come up because you normally talk about it. So if you're somebody that is giving to prayer, there's no point, nobody can even tell you, there's no need to pray. You say, well, I always pray anyway. Some things, you know, we could drive them into, we could just, you know, forget about it. Sometimes people say, when we were young, my mom would just call us and pray for us every morning when we were going out, when we come back. Yeah, and they say, that doesn't matter. God is with me. God that is with you prayed. So, see it as bringing order. Prayer brings order into our lives. Such that we do the right things at the right time. And some of the human will can achieve. Now see, so the foolishness about the atheist, I like something Charles Spurgeon said, a very interesting quote. He said that atheism is very funny and interesting, that even demons don't attempt it. They believe. So, the guy who says, well, and you know, sometimes he's not God. But the thing is that everything in the earth belongs to him. Everything. The atheist mind that is using to say there's no God was given to him by God. So what does prayer now do? Prayer brings order. First of all. You notice that in that text, Paul says this is the will of God. Who will have all men say to call and come to the knowledge of the truth? 1 Timothy 2:4. So there is the orderliness. And one of the things were, when you discover as a Christian, for example, that you talk too much, and you probably will notice, when your prayer life becomes unstable, it could show in being loquacious. You'll be talking a lot. You'll just be talking. You'll be talking, reacting. You'll be, of course, you'll become very uneasy. You become, put order back by praying. Is that okay? By praying. First of all, pray. If Jesus could pray at the baptism of John, and not just that, you know, when he was taken to the temple, both Simeon and the prophetess Anna, they were both praying. You see, some things you must just notice it. When you notice it, like I told someone said, well, we don't have any instruction to fast. I said, that's not enough grounds. What do you call an instruction? When patterns in scriptures are instructions, these things happen to them as examples to us. That is already an instruction, right? So you can discern a pattern of men who, in the course of being used of God, will abstain from natural things. They abstain from food, they abstain from, and they will pray. I was sharing this somewhere, and this is a very interesting one. I was sharing it with, I'll try, maybe not, maybe I'll say it in a way. They are a denomination like that. So I said, so the sort of fasting now came up. So I said, even look at the Old Testament. That when there were instructions, when they were going to war, they would ask the men not to have sexual relations with their wife. It was so consistent, even with the priesthood. I said, now, don't take it to the extreme. The point really was, there was a sense there, I'm not going to do much explanation on it, but I will shortly, not today, amen. Where you find out that there was an abstinence that people practiced in the place of waiting on the Lord, in the place of praying. There was just something that was done. Are you here? And I said, and I showed the pattern, I said, from the priests, that even David, when he killed Uriah, was meant to be at war. Uriah went to war, didn't stay with his wife. So a lot of things were complaining what David did. So I said, there's such a thing like that. You don't have to say, thou shalt not. You know, those are really thou shalt not moments. But you do know that they're absent. And look at your own life too, spiritually speaking. Some things, even common sense, you have seen it. Now when you just, those moments you just took time off, you know, regular luxuries of life, and in everyday, you know, enjoyment, and you just decided to take some time apart, you see something unique about that experience. So you don't have to have thou shall, just think about it. And the kind of, just looking at the pattern, like I said, you'll have seen it. So the same way we're talking about prayer, it brings order. Jesus prayed at the baptism of John. That's something to think about. In Luke 3:21, he prayed at the baptism of John. So what gives me the responsibility of prayer? Anything I'm doing. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying for all. I can expand that. James 5:16, I was going to go there. You know, James says, is there any afflicted, let him pray. James 5:13. Is there any merry, let him sing psalms. Is there any sick among you? James now says, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Look at, prayer comes up the second time. Anointing with oil in the name of the Lord and the prayer of faith. So this is a majorly prayer, should I say paragraph. He says, prayer of faith shall save the sick and Lord shall raise him up if the occurrence of sin shall forgive him. Confession of one another. And he says, pray. Can I see prayer coming again? Pray for one another. So if let's look at this, pray for one another. Pray for one another. Who can be the other? My wife? Huh? My husband? What about my parents? My children? Okay, my close friends, my associates, okay, those we work together in ministry, my pastor, those I pastor, new converts, pray for one another. So, which means that we do have a responsibility in all relationships to pray for one another. So, I can't but have what to pray about. I was talking to a friend a while back and then he shared something. And I said to him, I said, this is something we should pray about. That this is not a gist. We don't just say, you know that kind of friend, wow. Then we just say, you know, there's a casual, we just say, we believe God. And you say, the power of God is working. You know, and there's this, power of God is working. Glory, glory. No, that means you should be confessing the power of God is working. Pray for one another. So I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray for one another. I said, we're going to set a time. Okay? And then we'll take some time meditating upon it. That's how I let him know, Brother Hagen. Then we'll find time. I'll just fix maybe 11 o'clock and we'll pray about the matter. Because why would we just have a gist on a matter that requires praying? We should know better. Right? So pray for one another. If you do that often, I'm sure we will not be carrying gossip. Amen? Amen? There will be no reason for gossip. Just be praying. Pray for one another. Friendships break down when we stop praying for one another. I met a ministry, like a man like that man, and he said they had been in this ministry work for since the 50s. I met him in 2017. And they've been at it for about 60 years. I said, how were you able to? Because I know, he said none of them said they were the same group. I said, I know what it means for people to be gone for 10 years. He said, well, one of the things he told me three things. But he said that we never cease to pray for one another. That it was a responsibility. You know, we can keep relationships that way. Some of us think that relationship, just talk about it. I believe in communication. Let's talk about it. But sometimes, is it everything you should really talk about? You just talk about it. You just talk about it. Now, I'm not saying that you should not talk about it. So you say, you now leave and say, Paul said we don't have to talk about it. Don't worry, I won't tell you anything. That's not what I'm saying. But some things can be a bit troubling. And you just say, let me just pray about it. You know, what if in our relationships we do this before we bring up any sensitive issue? I say, today's today. And you just say, I'll just take the next 2 days and take a few hours and I'll just pray through. So usually you will present the matter better. Not that you now get there and say, I prayed about it too. I'll talk about it. I know somebody who came to me years ago, they liked it. I'm saying it because I've seen the picture. Person said to me, said, before I came to you, I decided to pray. So I'm going to tell you, I prayed about it already. I said, this is manipulation now. I said, what do you want to say? Don't be banned and praying for you all over the place. Except that Jesus and Peter. Your faith should fail not. So you look at it and say, let's just, before you talk about it, because there's something about words spoken in season, fitly spoken. Are you here? So pray for one another. So, every relationship creates a responsibility to what? To pray. So, look at it. It says, pray for one another that that you may be healed. Then it says, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know, and the righteousness there obviously is a gift of God to us. They also look at the fact that righteousness also describes the prayer. It is righteous to pray. And you know, when you look at the concept of righteousness in the scriptures, it's the right thing. So, being right with God, in the gift of his righteousness, when I pray, I am doing the right thing. Say, when I'm praying, I'm doing the right thing. Now, what else can I be doing if I'm not praying? I'll be grumbling, complaining. Okay, so when I'm praying, I'm doing the right thing. And I'm saying this confidently, that there are people here listening to me now. Lack of praying is what created the problem. And I'm talking about relationships generally. Lack of praying. Some of us pray just generally. Some of us cannot even remember whether we prayed for our friends. You can't even remember. And in this church, you can almost feel that, well, since today is not in my church, since Alex is not in my PCF, you know, I just feel, well, yeah, you say that Alex's PCF coordinator should have been praying for him. You know, there's a way you can feel like that. That, you know, I told one pastor something, a younger guy, I said, let me give you one small personal warning. I said, you know, I know your fellowship. You're just growing up. I said, you're a praying fellowship. He said, yes, sir. I said, don't think that praying for you. He said, what do you mean by sir? I said, let me say it again. But we have the prayer point, pray for pastor. I said, I know. Am I the one you are telling? When they are praying, do you know what they are saying? Somebody else is sleeping. Do you understand? That's why you must pray for yourself. That's ministry 101. Pray for yourself. Know your own prayer life. Oh. Amen. Pray for yourself. So anyway, we'll let you. You know, you can assume that. I'm sure that his pastor is praying for her. I mean, it's careless. No. One prayer will not cancel the other one. Pray for her. That's orderliness. Is that clear? So it's the right thing to pray. So can you see why you can't but have a prayer diary? Right? So be deliberate about praying. I learned to use prayer diary over 30 years ago. I'm deliberate about it. I have the number of days I will take a night to pray. I've never changed it. It was about 14 years ago that I changed Tuesday and Thursday. I used to have it like that. I said I was going to bring the file to you one day. Okay, maybe the next time I'll bring it. And I had, in fact, it's African International Bank green file. Okay, you don't know what African International Bank is. It's a bank that they are put in someone's pocket eventually. So I put it like that. So I remember when I joined the campus fellowship, I was pastoring outside campus, but I decided to join that fellowship. So I was telling the pastor, I said, naturally I'll join the prayer department. I've always joined the prayer department. So when I go in the prayer department, then I go to the prayer meeting. The prayer leader, I was the first person. Prayer was supposed to start at 5. By 2:06, the prayer coordinator was now strolling. So she said, how are you? You have a prayer? I said, yes. How are you? So was all existing with me and somebody you all know. I was existing with me. He said, yeah, you are. This, I said, sir, we are here to pray. Where are the others? He said, they will show up, they will do something. I said, So we shall try praying. So after a while, someone joined us. You could see that, you know, they needed the prayer department for the. So we now went for one video. That's the funniest video I've ever seen. We're praying. Suddenly the crowd disappeared. I didn't know it was on campus. I'd been in the department before, and I've never seen this one before. It just disappeared. We started around 10. By 1, you could hear the voices of some of us on the left. And I think we were about 5 or 6. And out of 5 or 6, 4 were my own people. The pastor was there just doing his best. I was praying. So as we were running off the prayer, you have not even heard the greatest part of the whole thing. So at about 4:30, people actually came back to the hall with mattresses. Mattresses. I've never seen that before in my life, and I don't want to see it again. They took mattresses to a vigil. I said, they are going to camp. So I just stood there. I said, no, this has to stop. So I brought them to one place. So the place wasn't big, so nobody can walk far. We're all there. So I led the prayer meeting. The coordinator was there. Say, let's pray. So we began to pray. I said, we must have a prayer seminar. So really, you know, there are things like that. We have to learn to pray. It's not... So I now call the pastor and I say, look at my prayer chart. And I showed him. So I've maintained this for years. So you should have a prayer diary. I know on Mondays. And some of you you're about praying for your disciples. You know your disciple that you know. It's not just your disciple. They are friends. They are associates. Your siblings. Are you here? Your friends. Pray for them. So, you have a prayer diary. Be deliberate. What did I say? Be deliberate. Order is a deliberate action. I put order in my life. I pray. Because disorder is... Envy is disorder, right? Okay. I didn't want to say anxiety, but envy came out. So envy must be... So what someone needs to hear this evening. Anxiety? Huh? I'm just afraid. Someone says, I'm afraid of the future. The future itself is afraid of you. Well, put on there. Lock them in a room. Yeah, pray. Not that you give them bed, though. And the brethren I was talking about. Pray. Stop it. Don't talk like that. Go and pray. He says, be anxious for nothing. Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known to God. A couple told me that they didn't want to do honeymoon first when they got married. And so they decided to go to and pray. They fought throughout. What do you mean? What do you mean? Let's just go back. Why was it so? Because Paul did not say, let me ask just for nothing, which means, first of all, deal with the anxiety first, then pray. They fought. One of them, I was laughing. I said, we came back. We just argued and fought. I said, that's also prayer in itself. Let's learn to pray. Amen. So we've accused our mothers. They just pray. They're not praying. And say, they just be giving everything to prayer. And prayer, prayer. And they don't look beautiful. Okay. Are they opposites? You that can look beautiful. I know. Have you been praying? That woman who was not beautiful endured your father's home and you and prayed. Don't you know that some of the reasons why some of you are committed in the ministry today are those prayers? You think it's the only pastor that's prayed? Did I even know you? They prayed for you. And something about praying is, Brother Hagin taught this in Art of Prayer, that how heartfelt something is, how effective it is. If you quote scripture from and say, I'm the righteous, some people are not praying, just boast, I'm the righteous of God, Christ Jesus. So whatever I ask, fire, give me, yes. As he, so am I in this world. Or God, are you boasting or you are praying? You're not praying, just say, I'm this world. We have audience with deity. We have audience with deity. Oh yes. When we utter things, deity responds. It's yet to utter anything. Just making claims. But somebody will now kneel down in tears and raise the name of a friend, a daughter, a son, a husband, a minister. If you were God, who has the audience with it? Who has that audience? That's the best thing now, because supplication is a strong request. A strong request. Very strong request. Heartfelt. Heartfelt. So, it's good. We can say, our mother should have looked better, she should have had plus something to natural. But you know that we can have both. Is that clear? Same with our men. Some men are very, very irresponsible. he will say, you know, my wife, she's a prayer warrior. Ah, I thank God I met a praying woman. Oh boy. In fact, I showed one man what means. He was looking at me. I said, the Bible says, let men everywhere pray. He didn't say, 1 Timothy 2. Go and read it. Men. He said, See, my wife is a prayer. She's a prayer. Ah, she's prayerful. Anytime I've gone to a cause problem, I say, my wife is praying for me. You are irresponsible. Not here. Nobody like that. You know, we don't say things like that here. Women are sensitive to, what does that mean? All these are just carnal talk. What does that mean? Your wife is praying, woman. So you will be clubbing. Clubbing, jumping from club to club, jumping from woman to woman. Drinking, I say, I will pray for me. Yeah, guy. Not you, you know, it's not you. Can't do you. Where? Club where? Your club has to be Arsenal. That's where we can club. So, you know, we have that responsibility to pray. What if I see my children that my role in their lives includes praying for them? My husband, my wife, my friends. What if I see the life of my friends as my responsibility in prayer? First of all. So let's go and mend all our relationships, okay? And put this there. I'm praying for you. That's part of relationships. And we put that order in it. Okay? Praying for it. Praying for your business. Praying for your... We talked about praying for your where you work, right? Pray for your employers. Pray for everybody. Is that okay? Pray. Don't just be saying, the power of God is working. The power of God is working by prayer. It's prayer that makes the power available. Last time Dr. Crawford Dollar said years back, he said there can't be a faith problem. Believer is a believer. There can't be a power problem. He said God has given us, you know, exceeding great power to us all that believe. You know, he said it can't be a spirit problem. We're a temple of the Holy Ghost. If there's a failure at all, it's a prayer failure. We have not prayed. We should learn to pray and pray. Hallelujah. And pray. There's something about, I know about ministry, the work of a ministry. Work of a ministry is, when you say let me say this so, all of us here, because I know it's either you are a leader now or you are a potential one. We train people here to lead. The moment you start getting bored about the work of the ministry, you start feeling, you know, out of sorts, it's a prayer issue. Anything you pray about will remain topmost on your heart. If there's a way to put something on the boiling point on our hearts, is by praying. It's people that we don't pray for that we fight with. It's things that we're not praying about that we are bored over. Pray about it. Prayer actually is like, prayer inspires our actions. Prayer sets us on the course. We should learn to pray. Don't know so much about prayer and not pray. You know so much about prayer. Some of us know how people are praying wrongly. Can you imagine? They are shouting, by fire, by thunder. Okay, accept it. The way I have learned something is, I can learn something out of what doesn't look like anything. So I pay attention a lot. You know, I can, like I was saying somewhere, I said, okay, somebody, I was speaking in a minister's training. So, and I told them, I said, you were in a bus. So somebody got up and said, good morning, Jesus. He said, good morning, Jesus. It lives with thee. It lives with thee. Good morning. I know you. Say, brethren, and he says, beware of the Antichrist. 666. Rather than see, somebody got up in a bus to preach. Somebody actually got up. You now left that scenario. You didn't talk to anybody in the bus, even one-on-one. You now went on Facebook. Imagine a certain zero man went on the bus moving another gospel. This thing must stop. What must stop? That good morning, Jesus. Is that some of us got born again? If you like, you say good evening. It's your Allah. What if you had, you say, I can also get up and speak like this. Whatever things are pure, right? Think of, see what is pure in that thing. Getting up unashamedly to speak about Jesus. When last did you get up anywhere? In the bus, in the car, and you preached? When last? Oh, they're not talking about Nigeria, just contribute. Oh, hey, did you hear dollar is, are you spending dollar in the BRT? Dollar is now, somebody that has never seen dollar before, say, I hear dollar is now, hey, dollar call, bolani. Do you understand? You never preach there. Some people get up and sell their wares. Some people talk about their own thing. What if you started the conversation of the gospel? You didn't do that one. You are criticizing people. So we can learn. We can learn. I went to see an old man. We had spoken. I was tired. Extremely tired. I was a younger man. This is almost 20 years ago. What am I saying? Over 20, about 23, 24 years ago. And the man got up to go and pray. I mean, I was so tired. An elderly man. And he got up, he went to pray afterwards. You know, those are the kind of things that, you know, maybe you now saw the man on TV, the man is now saying, pray for your enemies. Pray about it as well. And you say, You don't have to pray against your enemies like he did. But there's something he was doing. He got up to pray. Or he left the room to pray and he went for hours. That's something you can learn from. Is that clear? So never criticize prayer. What did I say? Well said. So, order in prayer. Now, there's another, something about praying also I want to share. This is actually what I want to share today. And we'll do a bit of praying. But it's more of what you'll pray for after this meeting. You can also pray about what God is doing. One thing I've found out is, there are believers. See, there are things you can know by revelation. There are things you can also know by observation. By observation. Now, I know that some people are now getting up in 2023 and talking about young people are into drugs. Some people are now saying, what's happening to this country? You know, and now, if you remember, I said this here, it was in this auditorium, 3 years ago. Something happened in Nigeria, and I said, this is actually showing us our work. Who can remember? I said, this is our work. You can know things by observation. And know by observation, what is God doing? Many times, Satan wants to distract us. And then he will get us to be gisting, complaining about young boys now into cults and drugs. Mm-mm. See, that is our own work. That's our own harvest. That thing you are using to create gist in your office and complaining is a prayer body. And I remember a friend of mine said something. This, he said it in a very raw way. I can package this later, but let me say it the way he said it. It will make sense to you, but don't repeat it that way. He said, oftentimes, we waste spiritual power by too much talking. That those words are meant to be channeled in prayer, but the spiritual power, he actually said it dissipates. Now, I won't say it that way again. But that time, you know, by saying be anxious for nothing, there can't be anxiety without words. But with prayer, which means that the energy for prayer has been used for anxiety. Because prayer has energy. Prayer has heartfelt speaking, have you? So that which you should have done with your heart to pray, you allowed doubt to overwhelm you and anxiety. If you channeled it, even in raising children, and I'm saying this, you know, also Pastor Lawson, we're talking about children, and I said, she also said something about one of our children, and I said to her, I said, did you pray about it? I said, you know, that's really our first job. That, apart from just be talking, that there's also the place where we're just going to pray about it. You know, I will just pray about it. It wasn't even anything major. Just pray about it. Just pray about it. you feel that, no, this is Abraham, let's pray about it. That's why you see many parents who might not have the light you have, but they just know how to spend time and pray. Some of them will fast, right? Uh-huh. We can take that energy with the light of the word we have and just pray. So going back to what I was saying, there's such a thing about just knowing what God is doing. We have known things by prophecy. If the 12, including Matthias, and maybe the 120, if they could spend 7 days praying over what Jesus said will happen. I thought if Jesus said something is going to happen, just going, hey, you know, Luke 2:24-52 says they went back to Jerusalem with joy. No, they also continued praying. You'd have thought, oh, it's about prayer. There was something about them that they prayed before the day of Pentecost, or the day of Pentecost they were praying. When 3,000 thereabout were added in verse 41, Acts 2, verse 42 they were praying. Acts 3:1, they had hour of prayer. Can you imagine? There was an hour of prayer. Everybody prayed together. We knew, it's different from your personal prayer, like this one, we have an hour of prayer. So so when they persecuted them and they threatened them, to pray afterwards wasn't a big deal. That was what they had been doing before. To get everybody to pray was a norm in the church. So, what's God doing? What are you sensing? Well, we can see it by prophecy. That was how I started, right? Written prophecy and what? Giving. We can see it by prophecy. We can see it and say, well, God, through my man of God, through my pastor, you know, I know some people, they are a bit funny. You know, someone say, I don't believe in that man of God thing. Don't worry. Just say, God, through my guy. You know, see, me, I don't have time to be, you see, to be arguing. So we argue people and be also scripture. Okay, you and I will now be arguing over my man of God. My pastor. What's the difference? My man of God. People, as long as it's not worshipful, people will use whatever gets their heart to align with God's will. They say, Papa. What's wrong with that? Did he say, it's not your papa. Someone is telling me, says somebody in the churches, see what they bought for their pastor. Is it your money? Did they deduct from your account? What's your own? Why are you sounding like Judas? Even the one we gave you, you stole. Well, stop that. Those are things. And when you talk like that, it will come to you. Yes. So that. Papa. Pastor. The most important thing is he has a man of God. And when a man of God has said something to you as God's will, you know, I call someone and I say, you lied to your man of God. How did you do it? You know, some people don't know, the man that God is using over your life, you look at the person and told a lie. You don't fear God. You don't. And you've read consistently in scripture people that did it. Right? Don't do it. Don't lie. Is that clear? Don't lie to your man of God. Don't lie. Don't cut yourself from God's supply. Don't lie. Is that clear? Don't lie to your man of God at all. Don't do it. Don't lie at all as a Christian. At all, at all, at all. But even if you are now possessed to lie, that had the demon of lies now said, I'm in you. Say, I can give you every room, but I won't lie to my man of God. It has implications. Don't do it. So God has people over your life that are speaking. You know, you already know what God is saying. Jesus said, go into all the world. That's a prayer point. Make disciples of every nation. That's a prayer point. I send the promise of my Father upon you. That's also a prayer point. Anything that is in the word of God can be prayed about. Anything God sets to do in his word should be prayed about. More so, a prophecy is given to you. Take a hold of it. I remember I got a prophecy at a meeting. Prophecy 96, actually, that's the type of meeting, organized by a friend. My next year, to be 28 years, January, it was actually January, first week in January. And I just decided to take a fast. In fact, for that meeting itself, I was fasting. And it was my friend that organized it. I took a fast. And two things happened. You know, there was a prophecy given. Brother Tokes was in that meeting. Brother Tokes was in there. Filled up, Pastor Tobo, and all that. All that. I didn't minister. I was just there. I was even an usher for my friend. So as soon as we finished that meeting, I just had all night and prayed. And I just sensed coming on me like a cloak. And it hugged me for a while. And I prayed a bit more. You know, just took the prophecies of that meeting and went to pray about it. That's how to do it. That's the intelligence about it. What's God doing? Set to pray. I'm going to give you definite things to pray about. Are you here? You know, we've already spoken about praying for everything, right? So make sure it's not the only thing you are praying about. You must pray for your friends, pray for family, pray for your spouse. And I'm saying that particularly, you know, I'm talking about that spouse one a lot. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your spouse. Do you hear me? Those of you that all you know is be going to go and watch cinema and all that. May your life not become a cinema. Amen? Amen. Every little thing. Let's go and watch, see a movie. What about prayer? Because that desire alone needs prayer. Praise the Lord. You now see later that when we got into relationship, it was fervent too. You know, with fervent, that's why you're going to cinema. He has lost the fire. He has to lose the fire. You now marry, you see the person is now very cold. And by the time you are talking, by the way, winter jacket. You don't understand. You have a problem. Prayer. And you listen to somebody who watch the person's prayer life. Honey, you've not been praying. Because you see, if your roommate is eating insects, I did not tell him or her, she to stop eating insects. The night the person will not sleep, you two will do video. The day is not going to sleep. You will not sleep together. So you better start now. Is that clear? Start now. Let's pray. Okay? Prayer is the key. Is that not the word? Jesus started with prayer. Amen. Those days when we saw when Revelation said, Jesus will start with prayer. Start with a confession. God pray and stuff. And then you help with prayer. Help with a confession. You know, not pray. All those things just to excuse everyone from praying. Don't say, I no longer pray again. I just give thanks. That's how one guy told us, I no longer fast. It was D. Morris in UI. Think they've changed the name now. He just said, you guys are still fast. I no longer fast. Why? He bought Dodo. I never forget. It was D. Morris used to be like high grade restaurant in UI. He said, D. Morris. And he put, then he starts talking then. There's no talking. Talking is recent. I think he put heavy, maybe fish. Who was fish? Say, emoji. Fasting, no more. Say, you see fast? I hear you are fasting. A man said, you did 30 days fasting, 40 days fasting. I was looking at him. He said, I don't fast anymore because the bridegroom is here. Say, I don't fast anymore because the bridegroom is here. The bridegroom is here. The guy's Facebook now. Bridegroom. I'm not making fun of him, but hello. So let's pray. Amen. Now this doesn't mean that your relationship now you start looking like a man if you're a woman. You know, say, Pastor, I said I should not be looking. That's not what I'm saying. No, it's not either or. Amen. But it should not be either. Pray. What can we pray for now? Sensing what God is doing. Rob Beckley already led us in it. You know, can we pray on the moving of the Spirit? We'll just be praying on the moving of the Spirit. Don't wait till you are a cell group leader before you start doing it. I wasn't in any ministry responsibility when I prayed through Ikorodu. I just prayed through Ikorodu. I mean, I walked around the whole town. Over 30 years ago. What am I saying? 31. And I walked through the whole place. Almost 31. Sorry. And I walked through the whole place just praying. I was just praying. It wasn't because of anything. It wasn't because, you know, some people are praying because you made them leaders. No. Some people, is that prayer that made them leaders? Is that clear? You just pray the move of the Spirit. If just one disciple, two, three you have, you can be praying for the move of the Spirit every time you go for follow-up. For the moving of the Spirit. We can pray for the move of the Spirit. You know, you can pray for the move of the Spirit in this church, right? You can. I will just be praying. We'll pray 1 Corinthians 12:1, the things of the Spirit. We'll pray 1 Corinthians 12:4-7. We'll pray Acts 2, 16 through to 20, 21. Joel 2, 28 through to 30. We'll just pray the outpouring of the Spirit. We're just praying for greater manifestations. Of course, manifestation is a single activity, but just for communication. Manifestations of the Spirit. We'll just pray. You know, we'll pray. You know, you can also be praying that you'll be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit, such that when you go to minister to people, you will minister by what I can say, revelation. You can pray that way. You can pray that way. You can consistently pray in that direction. Number one, you pray for the moving of the Spirit. God spoke to us. He said we should get ready for the extraordinaries. We should double up. You know, this is an instruction to double up. Which means if I've been doing 3 hours before, I should go 6. See, whenever a prophecy is specific, be specific about it. Don't say, but my work hasn't given me time. You know, I'm writing a professional exam. You know, I have to do this one. You know, The moment you do that, you cut yourself off. You know, no matter your schedule, obey that instruction. Obey it. Spend time and pray for the moving of the Spirit. Pray about it in our churches. Where our churches are. The outpouring of the Spirit. I also pray for your sensitivity. Now, as I'm saying this, I knew it the first day. Some of us are seeing that we are less responsive to the moving of the Spirit. You already know it. Don't excuse it. I was talking with Pastor Omi before he came in, and they were talking about how somebody was mocking the rejoicing of the Spirit. I said, I've seen it before. That the guy who mocked, in fact, he wrote it on social media. The social media was in the earlier stages then. About 15 years ago, say 14 years, 16 years ago, I wrote it that I've been part of those people who were doing this and that. I said, the guy is heavily backsliding now. You see, don't give an excuse for your carnality. Don't. If you have noticed that you are less, you don't flow in the gifts of the Spirit like before, don't say, you know, I know somebody who said this back there. He said, not this gift, self. And he decided to talk down on this. I said, mark what I'm about to say down. I told him, I said, mark what I'm about to say down. I said, you will look for it, you won't see it again. Till you change and repent. You know, you can, if you notice that you're not as keen, pray about it. And pray to be much more sensitive to the moving of the Spirit. To the moving of the Spirit. So that you can minister with precision. Anyone who desires that, let me see. To minister with much more precision. You know, never live on yesterday's stories. Okay? Alright. On being sensitive. What about praying also for fresh fire? Fresh fire. Someone said, I've not been praying with enough fire. I said, pray about it. Pray about it. It's prayer that will get you. No Bible study can make you pray like praying. Until you start praying, you have not prayed. Can get ourselves in by praying. And saying, Lord, I know you are doing something in the earth today. I align myself with it by prayer. We'll just pray for fresh fire. Let me now add one before I start closing. You know, there's also such a thing about, and learn to practice this often. I know you are just going out on follow-up and evangelism. You know, what about the previous day? If you don't have time that day itself, you just say, well, as I go out tomorrow to see people, you know, and just pray about it. Quality time. And say, I pray that as I minister by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you have that kind of practice, right, such a thing as influence will grow. You just have that practice. I've said this over the years, that God trusts a man who prays than the man who knows scriptures. But if you really know scriptures, you will pray. And some people took me on and said, what kind of statement is that? I said, is it that you don't pray? There's no way that will affect me if I wasn't the one who made it. Because whether it is knowing scriptures, I'm still a baby, still growing at that. Or if it's praying, I pray. So it's not going to bother me. It's when you're not praying, you say, what do you mean? You see, it's prayer, everything is everything. It says in everything by prayer. That's supplication. Pray in everything, pray. So, you know, we should just get ourselves in the mood of prayer. Listen, there are so many things to pray about. There are so many things to pray about. You see, never get to the point to say, I have prayed. No, it's I am praying. But, we did this and we got the results. We want more. Because God is still doing something in the earth. What will make Jesus pray at the cross? Pray before the cross. Just about every moment he was praying. I'll pray. We'll learn to pray. Amen. And I dare say, no matter what trouble you are facing, in the natural, pray. Pray. See, don't get to the point where logic will turn you to a professional warrior. Pray. If it's beyond you, pray. If it's within your reach, pray. If it's about you, pray. If it's around you, pray. I will learn to pray. But don't forget, I've listed three things. Those who are pastors and leaders will know I've been saying this consistently recently. Number one. I repeated it to them yesterday again. So number one, pray about the outpouring of the Spirit in the churches. Pray about it consistently. Pray about it deliberately. Pray about the moving of the Spirit, yes. Now pray about your sensitivity to the moving of the Spirit. Pray about fresh fire. Fresh fire. Now, some of us will say, I'll get on it. But right now, my business is having problem. I'm trying to do this. See, there is never a time there will be time. I'll say it again. There is never a time there is going to be time. Look at the things you have postponed when it comes to serving God. You know you never got to do them. You won't get to do them. Because there is no time that's convenient. That is why it's a dedication. There will never be a time that there is time. There will never be a time that there is time. You will have to say, this is the time. It's your responsibility. There will never be a time that there is a time. Pray about, you are going for follow-up tomorrow morning, tomorrow evening, Saturday. Pray about it. What about, you know, on Saturday you are going out to see like three people. What about just praying about it overnight? Have that culture. Have that culture. Look at how the apostles took prayer. Who will leave the word of God and serve tables. Who give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Pray about fresh fire. Oh, fresh fire. You know, what I do oftentimes, I just take some time away. Not from preaching or ministry, no. Just take some time. And there's something about the believer. You will know when the thing is somehow. You will know. Not on the pulpit, you will just know. I just take some time and pray. And you just spend time fasting. I can say this without trying to make a boast. In about 30 years, there's virtually no month of my life that I haven't fasted at least 1 or 2 weeks. I don't even count it. There was a time I was counting it, then the doctors warned me, you know, about the danger. When I'll just do 180 day stretch. I'll just do it. One year I only do the whole 360 days. 366 days. You know. But I was told to give myself brain. So I just limited it. I remember the doctor said, well, I think you should start fasting. I say, I think you should stop saying it. Find a middle way for me. Let's agree. I know it's good for your health. I said, even if you don't say it, me, I know. You know, how would you tell me that? And this is telling me, it's not about praying. Me. I'll pray you out of my life. Are you here? Pray about it. It gives you confidence in the work of the ministry. When you see a man or a woman of God, like making the boast and say, we will be fine. Who? He's not saying it alone, no. His knees on the ground. We can pray about it. And I'm saying this to you. Whether it's your home, whether it's your business, whether it's, you can pray about it. Is that clear? Don't let the devil think it's beyond prayer. There is nothing beyond prayer. Pray about it. And don't be in a hurry when you are praying. Pray about it. Between now and the end of the year, I'm repeating myself. At least have a vigil per week. What about that? A personal one. A vigil per week. You know, I know some of us, vigil is 11 to 1 a.m. Start there. Mustard seed will grow to something. At least 3-4 hours. Just spend time praying. And you're just praying. What am I praying? The move of God's Spirit. Sensitivity to the moving of God's Spirit. Fresh fire. The outpouring of the Spirit. Those I look over in the Lord. My friends. My family. I'm just spending that time praying. Don't forget. Prayer is order in our lives. Let's just start praying. Let's just start praying.